I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Chanti.
And I'm Lynx, and you're listening to Muses.
Enjoy the show. Today we've got an awesome episode for you. It's an interview with Joe Wood. Last July, we celebrated the dazzling Joe Wood by reading her memoir, It's Only Rock and Roll, and sharing her story. This July, we got to chat with the woman herself and are over the moon to share this interview with her. In this episode, we talk about Joe's teen years in the modeling industry, her hilarious introduction to the Rolling Stones and Ron Wood, and some of her favorite memories of life on the road with the boys. We also talk about Jo's passion for organics and how she turned a negative diagnosis not only into a positive life plan, but also a full-blown business. Jo shares some tips on how you too can build toward the goal of sustainable living. Make sure to check out her awesome Instagram account for some delicious meal goals. All of this and so much more on today's episode. Enjoy!
It's constant. I mean, everybody's now complaining because it's too hot. So typical English. Mm-hmm. It's complain when it's too cold and complain when it's too hot.
Well, I don't. I never complain about the heat, but I'm such a swimmer. So I try to get myself in any lake, any river, any ocean. So I think I'm going to head to either the pool or to the island tomorrow because Toronto's got an island actually that you can take a little ferry to and you can just go spend the day on the beaches. So you can actually get out of the concrete city and try to get some relief.
Oh, how nice. I spent a lot of time in Toronto, actually.
Have you?
Know, with the boys used to always record in Toronto because Michael Cole, their promoter at the time, was from Toronto. So we'd spend 6 weeks at a time whilst they rehearsed, and then I'd go out and check out Toronto. I loved it there. It was great.
Well, make sure to look us up if you ever come back. And
yeah, I will.
For a night out around the town in the old city.
Woohoo! Let's go, girl!
Shanti was telling me that you just went on an adventure with Bear Grylls.
Yeah, I just did 28 days on an island just off Panama. There was 10 of us to start with, and it's all about survival. And so they just dump you on an island where you have to swim ages to get to the island. And then they leave you with some machetes, some fish hooks, and say, I'll see who survives in 28 days. I was determined to stay, and because it's like an experience that I'll never, ever have again in my life, where you're surviving, but you're also quite safe because they keep an eye on you. But I caught the first fish. It was a puffer fish, so we couldn't eat it. But I actually, apart from the torrential non-stop rain sometimes at night, I loved the whole experience.
That's
I thought it
awesome.
Was mad.
Yeah, that's a real adventure.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. And you've cut off from everything. You can't speak to your family. You don't have your phone. You don't have toothpaste, toothbrush, shampoo, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And of course, you survive. It's great.
That's awesome. I am from Northern Ontario, and I've done a whole lot of fishing in my life, but to be quite honest with you, I always made my daddy put that worm on the fish hook for me.
I'd never done that before, and I had to break the shells of snails and get out. The first time I did it, it was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? But by the time I left, I was like whacking those shells open and pulling out that snail and just putting it on there like nothing. You know, it's amazing what you can get used to so quickly.
Yeah.
It was great. I felt like a real sort of native.
And that's going to be like a TV show?
Yeah, it's out. It's out in England in September.
Oh, amazing. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I've got no makeup, and you know, it's like just being so raw. I thought, oh, fuck it, I don't care, what the hell.
Good. It's a good thing for people to see, is just realness and rawness and beauty. I was looking at an Instagram ad just popped up on my feed today, and it was like, want to know the secret to how all your friends look great in photos? And they like made this girl's eyes bigger and totally changed like her skin tone. And I was like, no, thank you.
No, it's better to be real, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe you'll appreciate this, Joe, because, and we'll certainly get into everything about, you know, being like eating and living and organic. And on Wednesday, I'm going to do my first treatment of facial rejuvenation acupuncture, because I've never had anything
done to
my face in my life. Oh, amazing. I've never had anything done. Lynx and I are both in our 30s now, and I'm just like looking for something natural to just, you know, but just to keep going with what I've got. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. But you've had it? You like it?
Yeah. I had it, quite a few years ago now. But it was good. In fact, I could do with that again now after that sun damage on the island.
Yeah.
But no, it was good. My face actually looked better afterwards. I don't know what it does, but I love anything natural and alternative. It really... It's mad. It's the way it's got to be for me.
Amazing. Just start at the beginning. We always like to begin interviews by going back in time and, you know, learning about little Joe. So we were wondering, what were your passions growing up? And was music always an important part of your life? What was your introduction to rock and roll?
All right. So music was always around me in my life because my mum was from South Africa. So she used to play lots of African music, which is very similar to reggae. Music was on the record player when I grew up, nearly every day, I think. She was always singing, and it was, the first time I realized was when my father was watching this program called Ready, Steady, Go in the 60s. I must have been about 8 when he was, and the Rolling Stones came on the TV, and my father goes, "What disgusting looking lads." Oh, how ironic. Anyway, and I looked at them with fascination. I thought they looked quite cool. I mean, for a little girl. But then as I grew up, in my teens, I loved a band called T-Rex. Was obsessed with.
Oh, yeah. So good.
And Mark Bolan. I loved Mark Bolan. I thought he was so handsome and kind of feminine, which I didn't really, you know, it was a bit different. He was different from anybody I had ever seen before. So that was my first teenage crush, Mark Bolan. And then I liked David Bowie as well. Oh, yeah. He was the next one. So I suppose I was always going for that feminine-looking kind of guy.
I am so with you on that. Yeah.
You were like the perfect moment in time for those guys, that's for sure.
Yeah, the 70s mm-hmm. was great for their fashion and for the music. I think that it was great for me as a young girl in the 70s. And I went out with a guy when I was 15 who had a boutique, and he had all these great clothes, but so rock and roll musician clothes. And I was in love with all these jackets and flared trousers, and I think that's why I went out with him, actually. Yeah. And then I left home at 16 and went up to London, where there was where I loved Bieber, and Bieber in the 70s was the most fantastic store in Kensington, where this woman called Barbara Hulanicki had opened a small shop, and then it got bigger, and then in the end she had this department store, and she had even things like Bieber soup and Bieber baked beans, and she had a men's section, she had shoes, she had makeup, it was just fantastic. I love Bieber. So that was all my, it was all what they were wearing as well at the time, musicians were wearing.
Amazing. What a great time. That's so cool.
Yeah. It was,
so you began to model while still in your teens. Can you describe what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, because when I was about 14, I saw Twiggy and thought, oh, my God, I love Twiggy. And I only wanted to be like Twiggy. Of course, I was nothing like Twiggy. But I only wanted to be like her. And then that was it for me. I only wanted to be a model and wear all those clothes and Bieber clothes. So my mother found me a modelling course in London at 14. And I used to go up on the train on my own, go to this modelling school, London Academy of Modelling, did my little modelling course. But all I wanted to do was leave home, go up to London and model. And I did that when I was 16. I left home, went up to London, and I started with an agency, and I was the youngest girl on their books, and I did quite good. And then I met my first husband, so and then it all went out the window. So I got married at 18.
Like almost got married at 18. I had a really serious boyfriend when I was 17, 18, then 19 years old, and we even moved in together, and my extended family were like, you're wild, you're mad. And I remember, though, yeah. saying to him, I love you, but I got to spread these 19-year-old wings and I got to go. And I left.
Yeah, I left him when I was 20.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And I was divorced at 21, so there you go. So it wasn't, I broke his heart, and I had to move on too. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to break a couple of hearts.
Yeah. And then I started back working again, because I had a child by then as well. So I started back working again, and went to a party one day, and that's when I met Ronnie.
I love that part in your book when you talk about meeting Ronnie and your little hilarious moment there.
Oh yeah, when I when he came up to me and showed me the album cover of him on Black and Blue, and he said, "That's me," and I thought, "Oh my God, he's so full of himself." He said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I work in Woolworths on the broken cookie counter or biscuit counter." And he said, "You don't." I said, "Yes, I do. I have a child to support. This is a good income." Well, not good income. And so he said, "Where do you work?" And I said, "The main branch in Oxford Street." And he actually went there and waited outside the staff entrance. Oh, my God.
Well, he knew what he wanted. It.
Yeah.
Who can blame him? Hello. Hosta. Hosta. Can't get enough. You make me mighty, mighty fine. That was so funny. I did have a laugh about that. So you've really been surrounded by and been a part of the music scene for a really long time in your entire adult life. Looking back, yeah. What are some of the biggest highlights you've experienced, some favorite rock and roll moments or best concerts?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
I suppose one of the great ones was when I went into my first studio, And we went to Paris. Ronnie said, come to Paris. And there was that whole story about going to Paris, and Keith and Ronnie arrived really late, and I was in this tiny little room. Anyway, a few days later, whenever it was, they said, right, we're going into the studio, and they were recording in a studio called Pate Marconi. And I'd never been in a studio before. And that was mind-blowing, you know, to sort of be there and watch them create Some Girls album and just sit and watch it every night. And I'd sit there and go, oh, my God, look at that. Keeps playing now. Understood music until all that time in the studio, and I could never heard music as it could hear a guitar playing or bass playing or anything. But during my time in the studio, I learned to pick out instruments, and oh yes, I can hear Ronnie playing. Oh my God, yes, that's his bit there. And so it was, for me, those days in the studio are really special. Because I just sat there and absorbed it all.
The best kind of musical education.
I was just going to say, what better musical education than seeing it and hearing it with your own eyes and ears?
Yeah. And I mean, first of all, I didn't get it. And then you started to hear it and hear it and hear it. And I can hear anything now when I listen to music. I hear the instruments, I pick them out, and you know, it's all of that. So it was wonderful to do that and learn about being in the studio. Mind you, it's pretty wild. We'd stay there for 24 hours sometimes without sleep. And I built a little club at the back where you could come in to Joe's club and have a little rest, have a cigarette, have a drink. And then they could, so Ronnie would come in there and Keith would come in there and we'd sit and hang out in my little club I made out of those sound barriers. Aww. And we'd all hang out in this little club that I would make.
That is amazing. I love Joe's Club.
Yeah, Joe's Club. Yeah, that was great. And then a great concert I saw was Buenos Aires, and I think it must have been 89, when they had the first time the Stones went to Buenos Aires. We arrived at the airport and it was surrounded by thousands and thousands of people. I thought, what the hell is going on here? And as we drove into the city, the fans were leaning out their car just to touch the car Keith was in, or Ronnie or Charlie or Mick. And they followed us to the hotel in the thousands, and they stayed outside the hotel the entire 10 days that we were there, or maybe even longer we were there.
Wow.
And they would sing every night, ole, 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 Keith, Keith, or Ronnie, or Charlie, or Mitch. And then the show was extraordinary because as the music started, the entire ground jumped as one. And there was 80,000 people there, and they jumped as one. And then they pulled up this flag, the Argentinian flag, and it went from one side to another. And in the middle of the flag was a Stone's tongue. It was just amazing. They were amazing. It was the most incredible shows I've ever seen. They were great. And, of course, the energy you get from the crowd really affects the boys on stage, and so the shows are electric, you know. It was great.
Fandom is such an interesting concept, and we've been really enjoying exploring it and in all its facets. But I can't imagine that kind of energy. Two nights ago, I was like side stage and backstage after Lynx and I had done an interview that really meant a lot to me, especially because I've been a fan of this band for over half of my life. And for me, that high and that energy was like, I can't fathom how people can do that night after night. And I had been up late, like the night before, with some coworkers. And I just, that rock and roll lifestyle of staying up late with all that energy and having a couple of drinks, like, I do it for 2 days and I am done.
I don't know how we did it then. Well, we had a little help. I don't know. I mean, I remember staying up for 4 days once. And, you know, just we spent most of the time in Keith's room, but we just stayed up and we laughed, we drank, took drugs, and we were silly and mad. But mind you, I think I slept for 24 hours afterwards.
Yeah, the crash.
But we used to do... Yeah, but we would stay up late every single night. And when we would get home after tour, we found it very hard to go to bed early. So early night, 2 o'clock in the morning. But I mean, now it's completely different. I go look at my watch. Oh God, it's 10:30. I must go to bed.
speaking of traveling and being on tour with everyone. One of my favorite parts of your books is when you talk about being on tour, and it's really obvious, you know, the tour lifestyle and those experiences meant a lot to you. What were some of your favorite aspects about life on the road, and how did you make it feel like a family home still while, you know, being so far away from home?
Yeah, I mean, I with the kids, I missed the kids so much, so eventually I got them on the road with us, with a tutor. But in the beginning, I suppose when I tried to make it home, I always took my own pillows, and I always took little frame pictures. Eventually, I used to take my own stove on tour, which I designed, because I became obsessed about what I was putting in my body. So I designed a portable stove, and then I'd get to the hotel and it had two burners, so I could do anything with two burners. I just sort of adjusted quite well to living on the road, and I hated packing and unpacking, but I did it well. You just become a family on the road. Everybody's there, all your friends are there. You sort of go, you leave your door open, so you walk from one room to the next, and it becomes normal. It becomes really normal. And I think the little things that you do, like when you unpack and put books on the table and pillows on the bed and make it feel like home, I'm still quite good at that now. When I go away, I always have to have certain things, you know, that I bring from home. Except on the island, of course.
Joe's Club.
But we used to have such fun on the road. We used to just spend a lot of time in Keith's room. That was the thing, always in Keith's room, and so that was better for me, because the mess was all the glasses and the booze and everything came up Keith's room rather than ours. So I didn't have to clear up so much in the morning.
Yeah, so you could have the Zen room, he could have the party room.
Yeah. But I must admit, we did have parties a lot in our room. Actually, at one point, our room was known as Party Central.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you are an avid world traveler. What are some of your favorite destinations or adventures that you've had?
Well, lots of adventures were on tour, but I've done some adventures on my own. A few years ago, I went to Tibet. I went on a pilgrimage, and I went to Mount Kailash. I loved that. I've always wanted to go to Tibet. A great place to go is Japan. I love the culture in Japan. I love the food, and it's such an interesting place.
Definitely on my list.
Yeah, that is a great. And I love South America. I love Brazil. I had some great times in Brazil. And then Kenya is another great place I loved. And I went, not so long ago, I went on a walking safari in Kenya. Wow. And you walk through, quite amazing. You walk through the bush with a guy with a gun in case you get attacked by a lion. It made it more exciting. That was good.
Wow. Yeah. I found traveling alone is very, very healing. And I started off because Canada is so big that you can travel within Canada coast to coast, and it feels like a whole adventure. But I definitely started small, going to St. John's, Newfoundland, and then kind of moving up, and eventually ended up seeing the mountains in Nepal before I even got to see the mountains in British Columbia. Yeah.
So for anyone who's listening right now and has never heard of the term sustainable living, could you explain sort of what that means and why we should all be working toward this goal?
Yes. Sustainable living is, I suppose, it's mindfulness, living mindfully of what you're doing to the planet and yourself. That's it, simply. I mean, it's like, so it's not only taking care of yourself, it's taking care of what you do every day that will affect the planet. So for me, things like recycling, buying organic, making sure I don't use much plastic. Oh, that for me, plastic's a big issue at the moment. When I was doing that program, I found there was so much plastic washed up on the beach. It was incredible. So mindfulness is just being mindful of everything you do towards making a better planet and a better you. Because if you take care of yourself, you'll be taking care of the planet as well. If you think about what you're eating every day and not put junk food in your system and Coca-Colas and McDonald's and all the rubbish, you need to have fresh, vibrant food to make you feel vibrant in yourself. Yeah.
I noticed that
the world's got to change now.
100%. And Joe, it's actually written into our curriculum. So in our geography textbooks, pretty much all end of year projects for every grade is sustainable living. So I was in a lot of grade 7 and 8 classes. So that puts them at about, 12, 13 years old. And they were all doing projects on different parts of the world, different countries, what all of their initiatives are, and when they're hoping to realize that. So I'm hoping that, our future adults who are now still children, I'm hoping that they are actually like caring and giving a crap, and our school is a leading eco school in Toronto, so we've achieved gold or platinum status, I believe, for the amount that we reduce and our initiatives and things like that. So it is really important.
Yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah, my son Tyrone, he has a charity called Project Zero, which is trying to clean the oceans. He does this by raising awareness. He's just got all these hotels, the Edition Hotel, to go plastic free. He's doing all sorts of things, and he's doing really well with it. So I'm very proud of that.
That's good. I heard a waiter the other day said to somebody, "Would you like a straw for your drinks, or would you like to save the turtles?"
Oh, yeah.
Oh, isn't that great? Oh, that's so lovely, isn't it? That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed, though, in the UK that all of your fruit and vegetables are individually packaged in plastic. I would never seen anything like that before.
I think it's terrible. So I go into the supermarket when I go shopping sometimes. I mainly buy from a farm, but if I go into a supermarket, I will buy the vegetables that are packed in plastic and I will unwrap them as I've checked out and leave them with the rubbish, leave them the plastic. And they said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm here just to buy the vegetables. I'm not here to buy plastic. And I just left the store.
Nice.
Yeah, you've got to do something. You've got to stand up and say something and be proactive in it all. Yeah.
Agreed. Can you talk about your personal journey into organic living and how it evolved into a full-blown business?
Yes. In 1990, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease after getting really ill and going to the hospital, went to another doctor, and finally they said, you've got Crohn's disease. So they put me on steroids, which bloated me. And took my soul away, actually. I didn't feel like the same person. I thought, Jesus, I've got to be on these forever. This is insane. So after 2 years, I did a tour as well on steroids. After 2 years, I had this article come out in the paper, Stone's Wife in the Incurable Disease. And I got hundreds and hundreds of letters, mail, and they sent over this box full of mail for me to read. And I sat on the floor and I read all these people, all these letters these people had sent to me. And one of them said, Joe, I will put your Crohn's disease into remission for life if you take my herbs and follow my diet. I got in my car and I drove down to Hastings, where he lived, and I found his house, and it was called Shangri-La. And it was a little tiny house. And I thought, oh, my God, Shangri-La. And I walked in. I sat down. And he's an old boy. And he said, now, tell me, what do you eat? And I thought, what's he talking about? What do I eat? So I told him, you know, we'll have Kentucky Fried Chicken at the weekend. And we'll do this. We'll do that. But I like to cook on a Sunday. And he started telling me about the chemicals on the food. He talked to me about GMO food, which I hadn't ever heard anything like that before. He talked to me about everything, how food affects me. And it all made sense. Of course we should be eating as nature meant us to eat. What am I doing? So then I walked away from him with my diet in my hand and his herbs, and I weaned myself off my steroids. And with the help of Gerald Green, the herbalist, and after 2 months, nearly three months, I started to feel like me again. It was wonderful. I thought, yes, she's back. Aww. And then one day, just like that, boom! I had this terrible pain. They rushed me into hospital. They gave me exploratory surgery, and they found out it was a perforated appendix, and I never had Crohn's disease.
That's crazy.
So I laid in hospital, and I thought, if I hadn't cleaned out my system, I'd have never known what was wrong with me. And I would have died of a burst appendix or perforated appendix. So I decided there and then that from now on, I was going to be an organic girl. And I just changed the way I ate. And I changed the way my children ate, Ronnie ate, and then from there it went on to what was I putting on my skin, and I read some books. I started reading lots of books about natural eating and alternative health. So then, I started making my own little oils. Organic oils put on my skin, then giving them to my friends, and then a friend of mine said, you should do that properly, Joe.
Yes.
So that's what I do. Yeah, so that's what I do. Actually, I stopped for a while, and I started over a year ago now, and now I just do my two fragrances, two bottles and two candles, and I'm just working on a new fragrance now.
Amazing.
So, and it's all organic.
I love that you turn something that, you know, for some would be, you know, something that is so negative into something so incredibly positive.
Yeah, I remember when I was ill thinking, why me? And then years later, I think, I know it was meant to be that was. Otherwise, I'd have never been at this point I am now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I read that you actually created an organic pop-up restaurant. What was that experience like?
Yes, I was away in Kenya with my daughter and her husband. And at the time, I hadn't long been single. And I lived in a big house, and I was sitting on the beach, and I was just telling Jack about this club I'd been to, and they said it was a pop-up club, and Jack went, oh, it's a pop-up club. Yeah, Joe, that's the latest trend, pop-up clubs, restaurants, and art galleries, anything, you can do a pop-up. And I sat there and I thought, you know what, I could do a great pop-up at my house, and I couldn't get the idea out of my head. I called it Mrs. Paisley's Lashings. Mm-hmm. I grew the food in the garden. I had my friend Arthur Potts Dawson, the chef. He came and cooked. We did it for 2 years, every now and then. And I, first time I did it for 2 weeks, and absolutely wore myself out completely. I thought I'd never run a restaurant.
I bet.
And then I'd do it for a week, and then I'd have like 3 days off, and then it. You know, and then I started spreading it out, but I do it only on good times for the vegetable garden, autumn and spring into summer. Somebody just asked me the other day if I was going to do another one in my house here in London, and I'm thinking about it. But it was great because, well, what we did, we showed that you could have elegant food that was all organic, and it all came within 5 miles from where I lived, and we taught children. We had children over in the afternoon, showed them, picked the vegetables, did all that sort of thing. Some kids didn't even know that carrots were buried in the ground. It was amazing.
So true.
And then the any profit we made goes to a charity.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, you know, it's so different, the tomato that you pick off your own vine, the taste of it compared to the one that you're getting, as you call it, at the supermarket. It's really wild. You know, those raspberries that I pick on my farm are so different than the raspberries that I get from the corner store. And I remember years and years and years ago when I had that amazing boyfriend that I almost married, we would go grocery shopping together, and I'd be picking out fruits and vegetables, and he'd tell me, these were not grown in Canada. Let's think about where we're getting our food from.
Yeah.
And I was so young at the time that I was just like, you're not my dad. You know, but the guy was onto something, even, you know, like 10 whatever years ago that we dated. And he was so young when he was saying stuff like that. And I was like, now I look back and I was like, good for him for trying to encourage that. And I can see how it could be hard for some people to change and just being like, well, I love avocados so much and I can't grow them here, so I'm going to have them sourced and all that stuff. But you're absolutely right. It's really important to get, you know, the young people and to know that you can grow it, and it's so delicious, and it's so satisfying, and you're like proud of what you're doing.
And organic fruit and veg have, like, an organic potato has 5 times more nutrients than an unorganic potato. So you really need to have food full of nutrients that feed the body, you know, and feed your cells and make you healthy. It's no use eating crap that does nothing. Anyway, some people get it, some people don't. You know, simple as that. You can't convert everybody. I've talked myself into a stupor with my elder son, and he still doesn't get it. But my other kids, Jesse, Ty, and Leah, they get it like that. But Jamie doesn't think it's talking sense. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And it's the same with their people. I can talk to one girl, and she'll get it completely, and then say something else. And, you know, it's just, you either get it or you don't.
Yeah, all we can do is try to gently guide, and you can't really force anything on anybody. And it's up
you can
to them.
Educate, but it's up to them to, follow through.
Well, so speaking of which, in this incredibly busy day and age of go, 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 you know, burnout, all that stuff, what advice would you give to people wanting to set themselves up with an excellent self-care routine? What kinds of activities or holistic therapies would you recommend?
Well, for a start, I think it's really important what you put in your body. That is the major thing. And then exercise. And I go to an alternative doctor, so I don't take regular medicine. I will take supplements, good massage. I keep it simple, actually. I love acupuncture. Mm. If you guys are going to start naming everything. I do a bit of acupuncture every now and then. But I think the main thing to do is exercise and eat a good diet.
It doesn't have to be terribly expensive for people. You can exercise at home.
You can exercise at home. You can walk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walking is great.
Sometimes people equate exercise and a healthy diet with it being expensive.
I was watching something on the TV here the other day about how to save money, feed your family well and save money or something like that. And these people were spending on their takeaways £14 for a takeaway in an evening. I mean, you can go and get a load of vegetables for £14. You can make lovely soup. You can have rice and vegetables. And you can do all sorts of stuff with £14. You don't have to buy takeaway. I haven't had a takeaway in years, so I don't know. You tell a lie, I had an organic vegan pizza the other day.
Oh, yum. Yum.
It was so good. I think people assume that it's going to cost a lot to keep healthy, but it's not true. It's just not true.
Well, your Instagram account with all of those amazing, the amazing food.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful and visually beautiful and inspiring place to go. I would definitely recommend people to head over to Joe Wood Organics.
Thank you. Have you seen my other one as well, the Hey Joe Rock and Roll?
No.
Oh, no. My old rock pictures on that.
How did we miss this?
I'm looking it up as we speak.
Hey Joe, Rock and Roll.
There it is.
All my old rock pictures.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, it's
and
amazing.
These are all the pictures.
Oh my goodness.
Rock pictures that I put up. And I'm just about to get a book deal, actually.
Yay.
I'm working on, it's like a scrapbook. So I've got so much stuff I've collected over the years, little notes and concert tickets and pictures and. Just all sorts of stuff. So tomorrow I've got a big day with editing tomorrow because I think I've got my book deal. So I'm so happy. I've got my fingers crossed. I've just got to take in the first chapter and the week after next.
That is so fantastic. So we were going to ask you, like, what kind of adventures you have on the horizon. So with your, you know, maybe another pop-up restaurant and this book, it just sounds like you're doing so many amazing things and we couldn't be happier about that because this is all so important in the big wheel that is rock and roll, but also to be doing things that you love, that you're passionate about, which is like educating people on just like happy and healthy living. It is just exactly the things that we love to talk about and celebrate. So good for you.
Yeah, it's good. Everything is good at the moment. I just love to be busy. I can't sit around. I need to be doing stuff. So
what kind of exercise do you like? Are you more of a high intensity, fast pace kind of thing, or do you like to do yoga?
I go boxing.
Oh, cool.
I go boxing. In fact, I'm going Wednesday. I haven't been because I've only been off the island 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And I went away with my daughter to Croatia. So I'm going back boxing, first time back on Wednesday. Woohoo!
Beautiful.
It's scary.
Kickboxing.
Going to be a bit sore on Thursday.
Glad to get back into that.
Oh, did you? Oh, no, this is just real boxing with real boxing gloves, you know. I've been doing it maybe 5-6 years now. But apart from that, I'll go up to my local gym and just work out with some weights, a bit of cardio.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I did do a lot of yoga for years, and then I decided, no, I've done that, I can do that. I'm going to do something different. So that's when I took up boxing.
Yeah, good to mix it up.
Yeah, definitely.
So you also have this amazing adventure that you just filmed with Bear Grylls, and you said that's coming out September. I'm so excited to see this. I'm so pumped for this. That it sounds like it's going to be amazing.
Oh my God, I hope so. Well, I don't know. I mean, you forget that cameras are on you. I just enjoyed it. There was somebody there that was bit of a pain, but I'm not supposed to talk about it until it comes out. So.
Fair enough.
And what's the show going to be called?
There we go. It's just called The Island with Bear Grylls.
Amazing.
Not that he stays there with us. He drops you off and says, see you in 28 days. And you think, what? You're not going to help us?
Well, you know what? To just say, you kind of forget the cameras are there because you were having such a good time. That's such a good message, right? It's really inspiring to go like, you know what, just forget the cameras, just forget this and just have a good time. I think that's going to be important for people to see that. And in general, Joe, you're very, very inspiring, and it's been a real pleasure kind of following what you've been doing, and then Lynx and I looking at each other and going, one day we would love to talk to her, and like putting you on our list of just this dream kind of interview, because you really are this mix of everything that we really care about. So thank you for being here.
Oh, Shanti, that's so nice of you to say that.
This means so much to us. Really, thank you so much.
Oh, that's a real pleasure. Well, I'm here if you need to talk to me again.
We absolutely would love to do that. I think this is what's been one of the nicest things about this whole experience is that you get to watch what people are doing from afar and then hopefully kind of get into contact with them and then establish this thing where we realize how supportive this community is, how supportive women can be of one another, how we can really build each other up and support one another and see what everybody else is doing and then continue to kind of grow this thing together and try to bring on these messages of like fun and happiness and rock and roll and healthy living and sisterhood, all of this stuff together. So thank you for helping us.
Thank you very much for supporting me. That's great.
Always. And I can't wait to see, you know, how things continue to go for you. And I know a lot of really exciting things are happening with us. We've been doing this for about a year and a half, super, super, super independently, just Lynx and I. And now it's like somebody said to us the other day, well, girls, you'll realize like when it rains, it pours, it's all going to come rushing at one time. So it's really cool that we've kind of talking to you now, because a lot of things are happening with us and joining, and we've joined a network and we're getting ads and sponsorship, and just the testament to the patience and hard work, I guess.
It's all about hard work. You put the work in and you get your rewards. I know that.
And I think people are starting to realize, you know, where we're going with this and what we're doing and speaking with these women who were there and wanting to know their stories, not only what they've done in the past and these amazing stories, but also the things that they're doing now to make the world better, because that's what we're seeing.
Absolutely. And as women and, you know, as women and mothers, we should all stick together, because you know, the men haven't got that motherly instinct in them, and women are really great carers, and you know, we care more for the planet than I think a man does. Well, most men.
We're leading the way. So we will absolutely be keeping in touch and keeping in contact, and
I'll let you know when the book comes out.
Please
do. I'm sure
We'll chat again.
Okay, definitely. I'm sure that I will go and promote it over there. Because that's what the publisher was talking about. So that would be great.
Oh, what another dream that
Come
would
to
be.
Toronto! Yes. Yay!
dreamy.
Yeah, we'll have we'll have a Toronto adventure.
We'll have a Toronto adventure.
All right, definitely. I'm up for that.
It's been a real pleasure getting to know you so far. I think I know people are going to be so excited for you.
Thank you, Shanti and Lynx. I love your names.
Thank you.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.